الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما وقال تعالى في مقام آخر فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من وجد سعة لأن يضحي فلم يضحي فلا يحضر مصلانا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء کرام brothers and elders In these mubarak months the months of Hajj In this time We are all the time listening to something about somebody going for Hajj, somebody preparing for Hajj. Our hearts are also yearning. So this entire time is a reminder of Hajj. And Hajj, it's itself, from beginning to end almost, a reminder of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And his family, their sacrifices, what they did for deen, how they submitted to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And therefore we find in the Quran Kareem also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in many, many places, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam is mentioned. Like various other Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, in 28 of the 30 paras of the Quran Kareem, there is mention of him. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam on numerous occasions in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala repeats the incidents of his life. And the purpose of this repetition is not just so that we may know a story. The purpose of this repetition is so that we may repeatedly revise those lessons in our own lives and reflect to what extent we have adopted these lessons to what extent we have implemented it in our lives. And therefore we find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has even made this qurbani and sacrifice for this ummah as a means of a practical reminder of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this little time that we have, we will try to look at some of the lessons that we get from the Mubarak life of this great Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then for us to reflect to what extent we have brought these lessons into our lives, how much we are practicing upon these same lessons. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem, where Allah ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah ta'ala starts off by saying, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he was an ummah. He was like a complete community on his own. The different qualities, the noble traits that people would possess all together in many different places. Somebody would be very ahead in the quality of sabr, for example. Somebody else would be shining in the quality of shukr. There would be a third person who would be excelling in the quality of tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All these things which different people would excel in, somebody more, somebody less, all these things were found to its height in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And hence Allah ta'ala says he was an ummah in himself. Qanitan lillahi hanifa, completely obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Having cut himself off from everything else and focused himself entirely to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Walam yakum minal mushrikeen. He had nothing in his heart for anybody but as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There was no iota of any type of shirk. Shakiran li an'umih. completely grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for all his bounties. And then Allah ta'ala says, اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. Allah ta'ala says that as a result of these qualities that he had, we gave him the good in this world, and he has been promised the good in the hereafter. And after all this, Allah ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفة. That this is the personality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. These are his great qualities. Then we revealed unto you that you also follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa is being told to follow. This is for us. That the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa must follow the lifestyle and the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself expounded and he lived. So to take some of the lessons that come from his Mubarak life, and the most striking lesson is that test which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put him through. Allah ta'ala himself says in the Quran Kareem, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was put through several tests, and he passed them all with flying colors. One of those tests, and one of the greatest tests that he was put through, was, which we have heard over and over again, the test where he was granted the son at a very old age, past 60 years. Now after much dua, Allah Ta'ala gives him a son. And then that son is still a little child, and the first test comes. Now there are lessons to be taken from all this. This test comes, that leave this child of yours together with his mother, your wife and child, in a barren place. Now let us reflect upon our own situation. Here there's a command to leave a woman and her infant child defenseless in a place where there is no apparent means of survival. There is no food, there is no water. There's just the little provisions that he can carry along with. There's no shelter, there's nobody to protect them there. And Ibrahim salatu wasalam has been told, you leave them there. Now, the questions that can come in somebody's mind, but how will they survive? But is this something logical? Is this something reasonable? And all the various things that come into our logic and mind. One is that there isn't a clear command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is something pertaining to our day-to-day business, etc., which doesn't infringe on the laws of Allah ta'ala. By all means, Allah ta'ala has given us intelligence to use. But when there's a clear command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has declared certain things haram, that you will not indulge in these things, you will not let any part of interest be part of your business. Now the person starts using his logic in these commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has made gambling haram. Now the person wants to start using his logic. Certain kinds of transactions Allah ta'ala has forbidden. Now the person wants to question the wisdom of Allah ta'ala in it. So this is the lesson Allah ta'ala is giving us. Ibrahim alayhi salam is being told, take your infant child, take your wife, leave them in this barren place. Which he himself then, after he turns away from there, he turns in dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Rabbi inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar' inda baytika al-muharram. That, oh Allah, I have left my child, my family, in such a place, biwadin ghayri dhi zar', in a completely bare, barren place. Nothing there. But the tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala was complete. This lesson of tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala. That it is not the external factors that determine what is our risk, what is our sustenance, what is coming up and what is going down, and what is the price of the currencies. These things don't determine how we will survive. How we will survive is obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And therefore he turned in total obedience. He went and left his wife and child, and he turns to leave. But this was his situation. He was a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But then after that, the other part of the family is a wife and child. When he turns to leave, his wife asks him the question, the natural question that would come in anybody's mind, that are you going to leave us here alone? Nothing to fend for? So he doesn't answer anything because he was commanded not to answer. She repeats the question for a second time. She repeats the question for a third time. Then she changes the question. She was also a human being like us. She also had the same fears that other human beings have. She also had the same desires that other human beings have. She also had the same aspirations. But now she changes the question. And the question now is this the command of Allah Ta'ala? Is this the command of Allah Ta'ala? This is what a mu'min, this is his question all the time. He's faced with different situations. He's faced with lucrative deals. He's faced with situations where he can make a million in a minute. But what is the command of Allah Ta'ala in this regard? He has the ability to usurp somebody's inheritance. He can defraud somebody. Unfortunately, these are things which are no more rarely heard, something for us to cry about. But these are the lessons that we should be learning from these situations, that this kind of conduct where we do what we desire, that doesn't bring success. Let forget the akhirat even in this world. Success comes despite outwardly everything seeming bleak, despite outwardly everything seeming to be a situation of disaster. But Ibrahim ﷺ's lesson teaches us where all the means of disaster are surrounding somebody, but they submit to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then they will survive and they will be successful in this world, in the akhirat as well. So now she changes the question. And she asks that, is this the command of Allah ta'ala? So he indicates, yes, this is the command of Allah ta'ala. Now this is a lone woman who's going to be in this place alone with her infant child. And when she hears this is the command of Allah ta'ala, then what is her answer? Then her answer is, إِذَنْ لَا يُدَيِّعَنَا. In that case, Allah ta'ala will not allow us to perish. If it's Allah ta'ala's command, we should be here without any means, then Allah ta'ala will look after us. If it is Allah ta'ala's command that I must conduct my business without various things, then Allah ta'ala will look after this business without those things. If it is Allah ta'ala's command, I must stay away from certain kinds of things in my life, then Allah ta'ala will protect me if I stay out from it. And obviously the converse also applies. That if against the commands of Allah ta'ala, I think I am going to do myself a favor by doing these various things that Allah ta'ala has forbidden, then I am digging my own grave. So nevertheless, Ibrahim ﷺ leaves. The incident is well known, but just to take these lessons from it, after some time again Allah ta'ala permits him to come back. When the child has grown, for years he hasn't seen the child, which he made so much of dua for. And now that he comes back after some time, and this child is of that age where he can run around with the father, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. Now Ibrahim ﷺ sees this dream, which is a command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, slaughter the son. So this is a command of Allah ta'ala, and he has to do it. There's no question about it. There's no question in his heart and mind that it has to be done. But he has to do it, not something that is restricted to himself. This command has to be subjected on his son, who is a little child. He is ready for it. But this child is a child. So how is this child going to take this? So he has to prepare the child's mind, get him ready for it as well. So to get him ready for it, to prepare his mind, he says to him, to see what's behind the surface, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. That this is a command I've been given in a dream, that I'm seeing myself slaughtering you. What do you have to say in this regard? Now here is a little child, but he was a child of a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who was to become a Nabi of Allah ta'ala himself. And he had this companionship of his father, the Nabi of Allah ta'ala. And this mother of his would have made the tarbiyat and nurtured him in the absence of that father in that manner where these qualities of iman were embedded in his heart. His response, Ya abatif al ma tu'mar, total submission. Total submission of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, of Hazrat Hajra alayhi salatu wasalam, and now is the turn of this little child. Total submission to the command of Allah ta'ala. Ya abatif al ma tu'mar, oh my father, do what you have been commanded. And then so to say, I will help you. I will help you. How? Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You'll find me patient. I won't oppose this in any way. I won't try to run away. If my life goes, it goes. Where are all the questions that would come to our mind? In the mind of the father, or in the mind of the child, that what wrong did this child do? What sin did he commit? Why me? In times, sometimes of difficulties, in times of some adversity, this question comes on our tongues often, Allah forbid, which is a very dangerous statement, that why me? We should think of the other side as well, that when all the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala were raining down, that time we didn't look around at people living in shacks, people starving, people who don't have anything to survive for the day, and we looked at all the ni'mats Allah ta'ala gave us and said, why me? What did I do to deserve this? How obedient am I to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? What good did I do in this world that all this is raining upon me? Why me? That time that question never came to our minds. When little tests come on us, we should never ask for those tests. We should ask Allah ta'ala to save us from all tests. May Allah ta'ala protect us, protect our lives, protect our wealth, protect our families, and protect the entire ummah. We should never ask for these tests. But if a test comes, that is not the time to be asking, why me? Like we didn't ask when the ni'mats were raining down. This time too, it is a time to submit to Allah ta'ala. In the time of affluence, in the time of ease and comfort, it was a moment for shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was a moment to turn to Allah ta'ala in gratitude by being more obedient to Him. And in the moment of some difficulty, some test, some hardship, some currencies falling, and various other things happening, this is a time for sabr and turning again to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here we find that this complete submission is, oh my father, go ahead and do what you wish. What you have been ordered to do by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you will find me patient in this regard. Yes, this is easy for us to discuss that this didn't happen. But at that moment, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam didn't know what the outcome is. At that time, all he knew was this is a command. He will have to go ahead and slaughter his son. That son will be no more. And he was ready to do it. That son was ready to submit to it. This lesson of total submission. And then the other lesson that comes out of this, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was being asked to slaughter his son. That son who is so beloved to him. That son who he was granted at such an old age. That son who he didn't see for years after he was born. Now, which father doesn't have that deep love for such a child in his heart? Which father's desire is not that the son must live long after me as well? And now he's being told to put the knife on this very child. One is to tell somebody else, take him away. One is with your own hand, put the knife on the throat of this child. What is being taught here, and this is the lesson of Qurbani, where we are being made to do this practically every year. And such importance Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to this, that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in one hadith, that مَوْ وَجَدَ سَعَةً لِأَيْ يُضَحِّيَ فَلَمْ يُضَحِّ فَلَا يَحْضُرْ مُسَلَّانَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that the one who has the ability of slaughtering an animal on the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, despite having the means, he fails to do so. He should not even attend our Eid Salah. We are so upset with him, he mustn't even join us for our Eid Salah. Eid Salah behind Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, behind Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, don't come join us. This didn't mean that don't perform your Eid Salah. It was a very unique way of stressing the importance that make sure you fulfill this, what has been told to you. So this was made for us to go practically through it, to remind ourselves of what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went through. And what was this? That desire that was in his heart to have the son, to see the son, to see him grow, to benefit from the company of this child, and all the other aspirations and desires that parents have for their children. He was also a human being after all. Though a very great human being, the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But these human feelings were in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam as well, within the limits of Shariat without any doubt, obviously. Allah ta'ala is saying, now slaughter this child. The lesson of slaughtering any desire, any desire that comes in the way of the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is a life that presently we find that these people talk about the various religions of the world and how many adherents are to this religion and how many adherents are to that religion. But perhaps the biggest religion in the world is an unnamed religion, and that is the religion of following one's desires, which Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran Kareem also. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that person who has made his desires his deity? Deity is something that is worshipped. Have you seen that person who has made his desires his deity? What I desire is what I will do. But the command of Allah Ta'ala is that will be seen later on. One person came with his child to one buzrug, one pious person, just merely to take the du'as of that person for his child. Previously, people used to take great care in this regard. There would be great efforts made in this regard. Go out of their way to take their little children to the Ahlullah, to the pious people, to take their du'as. Today we find we are very proud if somebody, some falling entity has signed an autograph for a child because he can do something somewhere. He can hit some ball with a stick far away, or he can kick some ball between two posts. And because he signed some autograph, he'll take pride of place in our lounges. And any visitor comes, without doubt, he'll be shown this. My child has got so-and-so's autograph. But taking the dua of the Ahlullah, that my child must be stamped somehow, some benefit must come to him as a result of the dua of the pious people, that is something, if it happens, happens. Who comes and who goes, sometimes we don't even know. But this was what people took pride in, what people took concern about, to get the du'as of the pious people for their children, so that child will grow up in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, so that he will develop these qualities that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had. So nevertheless, this person came to this pious wali of Allah Ta'ala to take his du'as. So after giving him some du'as, then he took out something to give him as a gift, something small, whatever it was. So this child didn't put his hand forward. He turned and looked at his father. So this pious person is saying to him, take it. So again he looks at his father. Now this was something, some sweet. And a child, he has a very deep craving for something sweet. All children are generally the same. A very deep craving for anything sweet. And here he's being offered something. He's being told, take it. Now again he's looking at his father. When he did this the third time, the father also said, well, take it. So he took it. When he took it, this pious person, this wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, began crying. So those who were around him, they said, what has happened? What's the need for crying? So he said, this child has taught me a very great lesson. This child has taught me a very great lesson. That he was being offered something sweet, which he is craving, which he desires very deeply. But despite that desire, he looked at his Abba, was his father. What does my father say? And if my father doesn't say anything or doesn't allow me to take it, the desire is there, the craving is there, but I can't touch it. He said, this is the lesson that is being taught to us, that before anything, we have desires of different things in our hearts. Different things are in front of us. When we are walking out on the streets, there are desires. When we are in our homes, there are desires. Person is sitting at his computer and is on the internet, there are desires. Person is on his cell phone, there are desires and temptations. And in every way he's being distracted, and shaitan and nafs are trying to waylay him. But when these desires come, then this person, what we are being taught, this child has taught us, first look at Rabbah, first look at our Rabb, first look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is the command of my Rabb? My desire is there, but does my Rabb permit it? This child looked at his father, does my father allow this? Does my Rabb permit this? This is a lesson Ibrahim is teaching us. That desire can be sacrificed, but don't sacrifice the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The ulama ikram state that there are various signs to do a self x-ray, various signs for a person to judge within himself that what has become dominant. The desires Allah ta'ala has placed within human beings, they are permissible avenues to fulfill those desires. And desires are not just restricted to any one or two things. Anything, there are permissible limits of fulfilling those desires, and then they go beyond the bounds. There are certain indications within a person that what is dominant. It is his own desires, or the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or the desire to be obedient to Allah ta'ala. What is dominant? The few things that are mentioned, one is that a person starts giving preference to the perishable things over the everlasting things. He gives preference to the perishable things of this dunya, of this world. This moment I am here in the business, if I go into the masjid for salah, then I will lose out so many customers. So let me just carry on now, I'll make my qaza later. He's given preference over a perishable thing to that which is everlasting, the bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, which will come in this dunya also and will be given in the akhirat. The person wants to conduct some occasion, something in the family, whatever occasion has come. Now, one is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein all the barakat lies, wherein all the good lies of this dunya and the akhirat. And the other is to make the entire population happy. Everybody must say that he did it in style. And everybody must say that, well, it was not a very dry affair. We didn't know whether we went to a wedding or a funeral. So now to please everybody, all the commands of Allah Ta'ala are broken. The sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are trampled upon. Person is giving preference to what is perishable, the praise of people, the assumed pleasure of people, over the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is the first sign that then these desires have become dominant. And this heart needs to be remedied, this heart needs to be treated. The second is that this person stops crying. One is a crying of the eyes, which is not necessarily in human control. Sometimes the eyes may cry, sometimes may not cry. Neither is that some criteria of anything. But what is important is the heart crying. That is this person's heart crying in the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Is his heart crying, Ya Allah, I disobeyed you after what you've done for me, what you've given me, all your ni'mas and bounties. He's crying within his heart. Maybe his eyes doesn't have a drop of tear in it. But his heart is crying. His heart is yearning for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. His heart is yearning to be able to bring deen in his life. If that heart is crying, then his heart is alive. Then these temporal desires have not dominated him. But otherwise, then this means that this heart is in need of severe treatment, emergency treatment. And then the other thing that has been mentioned among the various things, we'll terminate on this, that when a person feels restless in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, uneasy in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, and he feels very comfortable, greatly at ease in the gatherings of people, to sit and make some zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, to recite the Quran Sharif, to be part of the gatherings of deen. Person is like a fish out of water, or he's waiting, when can I move away from here? And when he's in his company, in his friends, then the night is too short, or the weekend has gone away too quickly, or all this, that how the time goes, a person doesn't even know. This is a sign that we need to treat our hearts. So this lesson of submitting ourselves entirely to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of crushing these desires, and Allah ta'ala loves this so greatly when a person crushes these desires. There's so many aspects in this regard, time is limited, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given this great status to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that this act of his will remain till Qiyamah. This remembrance will remain till Qiyamah, because Allah ta'ala loved this so greatly, where he trampled that desire, but he didn't trample the command of Allah ta'ala. Likewise, we have to start bringing ourselves onto that way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. All those desires that come in front of us, what is our Rabb saying? We have to look up. What is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala saying? And to develop that himmat and courage, we have to go to the company of the Ahlullah, spend time in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to develop this iman, the strength of iman, which will make us more desirous of pleasing Allah tabarak wa ta'ala than pleasing our own nafs. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.